Let me get this up. Okay, give me 2 seconds, and I will have I've got a big bag with me with a ton of stuff, and my mother was giving me questionable looks into what was going in it. So hopefully it will be of some benefit. Oh, and my clicker too. Brilliant. It's great to see you all, even ones I'm not really familiar with. I do the Tuesday night, but it's great to see you. And it's wonderful to hear you all sing and to do the catechism, those big questions. Really appreciate it. And, giving us the whole whistle-stop tour of Genesis. We really appreciate that. That was wonderful. And treasure these moments, because we hope and we pray that you'll look back on those moments with fondness, and you'll look back and say, wow, look at the fun I had during those times. Look at the things I learned. Look at those wonderful songs. It was a few weeks ago, we were on a weekend with young people, and we sung all these choruses. Every chorus you could think of, we all sung around, and we're all 20-somethings, and we're all singing all these kids' choruses, and we loved it. And it just harkened back to the days in which we were in your position. So we hope you look back with fondness, and we're very grateful for everybody that's here tonight. So I'm going to say the title of this topic is called Are You Ready? And it's a question I'm asking you young people, but it's also a question I'm asking the older people behind you, okay? So you have a look back and see if their arms folded, are they? Are they listening well? Yeah, okay, well, we'll keep an eye on them anyway, and we'll see if they're listening, and try and you see if you can listen better, okay? But first, before we get in, we're going to do our prayer drill, and we all know the prayer drill, right? Has 4 letters, and what's the word? Pray. Okay, so we're going to go P-R-A-Y. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for being with us here tonight. We thank you for every child here. We pray you'd bless them wherever they're coming from a house that's had maybe great success, or maybe from a house that's had great difficulty. I pray that you would be in every situation, Lord, and you would make your presence known to the little ones, to the parents, and even in the moments where they are in desperate need of help, I pray that you would make your presence even clearer. And I pray you would be with us tonight, and that we would have a clear answer to the question of, are you ready? And that the answer will be yes. We pray you'd be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so there's a very famous saying that says, all good things must come to an end. All good things must come to an end. And this usually means that no matter how good something is, no matter how much fun it is, no matter how beautiful it is, no matter how wonderful it is, it will come to an end. There's going to be some time where it will not be. Everything has a beginning and everything has an ending. Very sadly, but I've got a few examples here to help me describe what I'm talking about, okay? And it's in my bag, so let's have a rummage and see. Now here, this is the James Gailey lunchtime special, okay? We've got ham and cheese, okay? And I put this in at two pieces of bread, okay? And put it in the microwave, heat it up, and the cheese melts, okay? And it's wonderful, lovely wee toasty, okay? Wonderful. But there's something that we can actually see in these packages, all right? Does anybody like cheese? Who likes cheese? Oh, I love cheese, okay. I love it when it's heated and melted up, okay. But on the cheese, it says here, there's a wee date. Have you ever noticed the wee date? It says best before the 24th of June. So we've got a wee bit of time. But what does best before mean? Does anybody know what best before means? Yeah. Yeah, well, it's close to that, best before, so we're going to get to that one. But best before means it is at its tip-top condition, it is at its best before this date. And then after this date, you can still eat it, but it's not as great. It's not as great as it was before this date. So it's best before, okay? But then for this, the ham is exactly right. This is used by, okay? Used by. And that means you have this amount of time left. It says 31st of May, and before that time you can eat it, but after that, if you eat it, it would taste very yucky, and at worst, it would make you very sick. No, you don't want to eat it after this date, okay? So both these things have a date. They can be wonderful, and you can have them in for your lunch, but only for a limited time. And then it's gone. And then you have to either throw it away or eat it very quickly, okay? So I want to think about food, okay? Let's think about another thing. Events. I've got a calendar here, okay? This is one that has all my family in it, okay? But there's one problem, and it's 2022. It's 2022. Now, does this have much use to me now? No? Why not? Why not? Because it's 2022. It's already been and gone. This is where I'd mark events and try to remember birthdays and big events, which I usually, the night before, I'm buying presents for. But, like, we only have, there's only 365 days to use this, okay? And then it is useless. We throw it away because it's 2022. We've moved on to 2023, okay? So that's something. Our events, whether you have a birthday party maybe, or you know some Children's Day, even here now, they have events that start and then they finish, okay? We got something else here. We got clothes. I'm going to show you this here. Haven't brought this out in a while. Let's look at this. Can you believe this once actually fit at me? Okay, and it says, Happy Tots Playground Cullibacky. Okay, Happy Tots. And it says, ages 5 to 6. Okay, so when I was 5 to 6 years old, I was running about with this wee jumper on. And it doesn't fit me anymore. Doesn't fit me anymore. And the same thing with clothes. Nowadays, you have clothes for a certain amount of time from ages 5 to 6. And then you grow out of them. You grow out of them. And we got another piece of clothing here too. It's an old sock, okay? But look at this here. I can see you right through that. That's just about to burst, okay? So we have garments, okay? But they wear away with use. The more you use them, the more they wear away. And this sock has been well used, okay? It's been well used. I'm trying to keep it away from my nose, okay? And brilliant. Clothes. You know, when the Bible says in Isaiah, it says the world will wear away like a garment. But we're going to talk about that. And then finally, I want to think about songs and stories. Okay, look. Does anybody know what this is? What is this? Yeah. It's like a guitar, but there's a fancier name for it. Yeah. Yeah. Ukulele, that's right. Good job. This is a ukulele. And you maybe see it and people in Hawaii might play it. And hear that? Hear that? It's a little out tune, but that's it. And you know when people are playing songs? They're playing for a wee while, but eventually the song comes to an end, doesn't it? It's not. I haven't yet met a person that played a song and they're still playing and they'll continue to play. There's a song that comes to an end, okay? And finally, we think about stories. Here's a book I love here. It's called Treasure Island, okay? About pirates and the high seas. I love it. But it has a start. You have chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and it goes on to the final page on 201. It starts, and then it ends, okay? So those are all my things here. I'm probably leave them there just for the meantime. But I want to really hit home the fact that everything has a beginning and everything has an ending. And we need to think about that. We need to really think about that because the Bible talks about it. Jesus himself said that the world we live in also has an ending. It had a beginning. We heard from the young ones. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But Jesus also said it had an ending. And he said, heaven and earth shall pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away. We don't have to look around to tell us that that things are ending. Things start and things come to an end and things pass away. Now, some people, when they see this, they try to take God out of the picture. And they try to look to other things that might be the problem, okay? Some people think the world's heating up, okay? And there's going to be mass flooding. And there's going to be a thing called global warming, okay? And they think the sun's going to run out. The sun's going to explode and it's going to eventually run out and stop giving up heat. And there's all these big catastrophes. If you listen to the news, they talk about all these big catastrophes about what's going to happen to the world. But they take God out of the picture. Now, there's things we should should look after, and we should look after the world we live in. But the Bible tells a different story. It doesn't say anything about those. It says that Jesus is going to come back. And where? You want evidence? Okay. Oh, and also, some people think aliens are going to come and take us away. I don't think so. I think that's a bit mad. Okay. But Jesus has promised that he will return. Where did he promise? We read in John chapter 14, verse 3, it says, "And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." That where I am, there ye may be also. We got three things to think about here. We got to say, you know, God is going to prepare a place for us. It says God is going to prepare a place for us. That place is heaven or the new earth, you know, and the new earth. And then number two, I will come again. Jesus is coming back. He left us and he's coming back. And then I receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So one, Jesus is gone to prepare a place for us. He's coming back and we're going to join him. Okay, those are three things that we need to think about. Jesus is coming back. But you notice here, it doesn't say a date. It doesn't say a time. It doesn't say when this is going to happen. That's because Jesus hasn't told us. And we have to be ready. And remember, look at this verse. It says, "Watch ye therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." You don't know the day and you don't know the hour that Jesus come. But we know he's definitely coming. And we need to be ready. And we need to be ready. But before we go, can I have a volunteer? Just very quick. Can you all sit in your hands? Sit in your hands. Sit in your hands. 3, 2, 1, go. Oh, okay. Like, sit in your hands again. I need a look again. 3, 2, 1, go. Okay. I'm gonna go. You want to come up? You want to come? Yeah. You want to come up? Okay. Okay, I want you to stand here. Stand here. Hands behind your back. And when I drop this ball, you're going to be ready to catch it, aren't you? No. Hands behind your back, yes. You're going to be ready to catch it. I'm going to drop this ball, and you're going to catch it in your arms, aren't you? And, you know, I could drop it in an hour. I could drop it in 10 minutes. You know, you'll never know when I'm going to drop. You didn't catch it. Oh, you want to try again? You want to try again? You're going to be ready this time? Okay. I am going to drop this ball. Okay. And you need to be ready for the day and the hour. Oh, nice attempt. Thank you. You can come. You have to be ready, okay? So I gave her the command, okay? And she had to be ready. She had to be ready to catch it, okay? She didn't know when I was going to drop it. I was maybe playing tricks on her. But she didn't know when to drop it, but she knew it was going to drop. And we need to be ready. And Jesus talks about a story and gave us a story about this, okay? And told his disciples. And it involved a wedding. It's funny how we were talking about a wedding of Hannah and Graham that's coming down the road. And it's going to be a little different than this one, okay? So weddings are different from different places, okay? They look different, okay? But this is a wedding. And in a wedding, we have a groom, which is the man. And we have the bride, which is the lady. Okay, so we have the groom, which is the man, the bride, which is the lady. And they're going to come together and say that they love each other very much. Oh, very nice. They love each other very much, that they're going to make promises to each other to never leave each other and to be faithful to each other in the eyes of God. And that's what the marriage is. But this is a story told in the olden times and about Jesus' time. And it was about a wedding, and it happened in the autumn time, you know, when it's nice and cool, and you could go on into the night, and it was nice, and the harvest was done, and those weddings would have lasted days. Sometimes you get a wedding here, and it only lasts one day. These weddings lasted so many days. There were loads of days, and they had a big feast, and everybody was rejoicing and celebrating, and it was a wonderful time, and a great time, okay? And here we have the groom, who's getting married. And he starts off in his house. And what do? Before you get married? You get dressed into your best clothes. You get dressed in finery. And you're getting ready with your groomsmen. And they would leave the house, okay? And they would go to the bride's house, pick her up, and bring her back to the groom's house, okay? So you would start off, leave the house in this big procession, go to the bride's house, pick up the bride, and go all the way back to celebrate back at home. Okay? That's what happened. But on the journey, they would stop off and pick up the bridesmaids. Okay? The bridesmaids. Okay? Have any of you ever been to a wedding? Anybody been to a wedding? And you ever seen the bridesmaids? Yeah? And they're like the friends of the bride. Okay? So they would pick up the bridesmaids, go to their house and say, "Wake up. We're ready to go. We're ready to go." And this was at nighttime. And they were ready to go. So they would go pick the bridesmaids up, and there was this massive crowd, and they would go to the bride's house, pick up the bride, and they'd march through the city and say, "Look, who's getting married?" And they'd come and join the celebration. Okay? And there was maybe a person standing at the door of the groom's house, maybe. And, you know, like maybe like today, there might be party crashers, okay? There might be people that want to show up uninvited and try and enjoy the celebration when they weren't invited, you know? So in order to confirm that you were part of the wedding, if you were invited to the wedding, you had to have two things, okay? You needed to be part of this group. You needed to be part of the group that was going through the city. And you needed to have a lantern. Now, here's something I have. Here. Look at this here. This isn't exactly what they were talking about, but look at that. Ooh. Wonderful. You know how this lights up? It's like, if you look very closely, I couldn't show it to you all, but there's a little fluid. There's a little liquid in there, okay? And when a charge hits it, it lights up. It lights up and becomes fire, okay? I'm going to try and not light the place up. But look, it becomes fire. And in those days, they had wee little lanterns like this here, and it was full of oil. It was full of oil. And this oil, when it got lit up, it had fire. It created fire. Now, these weddings were at nighttime, so they needed light to guide their way through the streets and guide their way to the bride's house and guide their way back to the groom's house. They needed a lantern, okay? And this will be very important. So they needed to have a lamp, and they needed to be part of the group. Okay, we need to think about that. Now, the story that Jesus was telling, okay, was a story of 10 bridesmaids. 10 bridesmaids, okay? And they were all waiting in their bridesmaid house, ready for the groom to come. Ready for the groom to come. Have you ever waited for something and you thought it would never come? Have you ever done that? You ever waited so long, it's like, when is this ever going to come? When is this ever going to come? This is something similar. This is something similar. So they were sitting in the house, and the Bible tells us there was 5 wise bridesmaids and 5 not so wise bridesmaids, okay? 5 wise ones and 5 foolish ones, okay? And why were they wise? Why were they foolish? Well, they were wise because you needed a lot of oil to lamp these lamps, didn't you? You needed oil. And the wise ones were like, right, we need to prepare. We need to be ready for when the groom comes. So I'm going to get some extra. I'm going to get some extra ones, okay? I'm going to extra, and you see the wee thing, the wee filler? You filled it up with oil. I'm going to have some in backup, okay? So I'm definitely ready, okay? The 5 foolish ones, not so prepared. They were maybe a bit lazy about the whole thing. They may be like, "Look, we have enough oil. It'll be enough. It'll be fine. And if not, we'll be able to go to the other ones and borrow some of their oil. Okay, we'll borrow some of their oil. It'll be fine. What's the worst that can happen? Okay, those are the 5 foolish ones. We're going to find out what happened. Okay, so the bridegrooms are waiting, or the bridesmaids waiting in their house, and they're waiting, and they're waiting. And they're waiting, and there's no, it's the groom. Is the groom even going to show up? Is the groom getting cold feet? Is the groom thinking, maybe I don't want to marry this woman? I don't know, is the groom ever going to come? And maybe they're waiting so long that they get quite sleepy, and they're getting sleepy, and they fall asleep. And they're not, you know, the ones that are prepared are ready to go. What about the foolish ones? What about the foolish ones? Okay. So they're sitting waiting and they're sleeping. And then suddenly they hear out the window, "Wake up! Wake up! The groom is here. Come on. We're ready for the wedding. Come on. Ready. Come on. I can't wait any longer. The groom is outside the window, okay? And there may be panicking, and there may be room. All right, right, okay, we need to be ready to go. We need to be ready to go. The five wise ones, we've got our oil ready to go, okay? The five foolish ones, hold on, let's get it lit up. Oh, there's no more left. There's no more left. Let's check our jars. What am I going to do? We've no lamp. How am I going to join this group? We'll ask the wise ones. Come on. And they go and ask the five wise bridesmaids. And say, oh, please, just give us some of your oil. Give us some of your oil so we can join in too. And the wise ones, they wisely said, you had your chance to prepare. But if I give you some of my oil, then I won't have any and I won't be able to go. So what you need to do is go out into the town and get some now and then join us later. You need to go out now. Now, have you ever tried at 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning to go down to the shops and buy stuff? Have you? No? Maybe? Well, like, we have 24-hour Tesco's here, but they didn't have it back then. And, you know, they were maybe going out into the streets and knocking doors and maybe saying, oh, maybe they'll lend me. But they were a way off. But meanwhile, the groom is outside ready to go. So the five wise ones joined the group and they went on without them. They went to pick up the bride and bring her back to the party that was at the groom's house. Okay? Meanwhile, the five ones are running about like mad. Can somebody give me oil, please? So they eventually come and they get sorted. Right, okay, we've got our oil. We're ready. And they come back to the groom's house, maybe knock on the door. Hello. Yeah, hello. Hi. Yeah, we were meant to be joining the group, but we're here now. Can you let us in? And what do you think the person at the door said? No. I don't know you. I don't know. You weren't part of that big group. That big group was coming from the bridesmaid's house, weren't they? And surely all the bridesmaids are here. Who are you? I think you're trying to get in on something that you're not supposed to be getting in on. So maybe the person at the door, and it says, no, I don't know you. I don't know you. And they were let down, and they were forced to go home. They were not ready. They were not ready. And what did this story, why was Jesus telling this story? Why was Jesus telling this story? Well, we got several lessons we can learn from this. Number one, we should not listen to what this world says, okay? So this world will tell you a million different catastrophes, a million different problems with this world, that it's all going to blow up, and in 2 years' time, it's going to be famine, it's going to be flood, and it's going to be everything, and it's going to be a catastrophe. Well, God promises seed time and harvest, okay? So that's not what God said. God gave in his word and promised in his word that Jesus is coming back. Okay, Jesus is coming back. Jesus is like the groom that comes and is coming. And when he comes by the bridegroom's house, he calls out, are you ready? And he is going to come back and going to ask us that same question. Are you ready? And the question is, are you ready? And what does it mean to be ready and not ready? What does it mean to be not ready? Not ready for eternity. We think about our sin. Does anybody know what sin is? What is sin? Yeah. What was that, sorry? Yeah, you need to get your sin away to get into heaven, but what is sin? Does anybody know what sin is? Yeah. Yeah, the bad things you do in your life, the bad things you think and say and do that displeases God. All those bad things. And each and every one of us has a heart full of sin. It's not that we just do the odd thing, the odd time, but we're basically good. We have a sinful heart and we all do this, all these bad things that displeases God. And no matter how much we try not to do it, we do it because we're looking for ourselves, okay? And we're maybe living in this life and we think, I've got all the time in the world. I can party all night long. I can do anything I want. And then when I'm old and when I'm sitting about the house and I've got nothing better to do, then I'll think about putting my trust in Jesus, okay? That's what a lot of people think. And then when you get to the older age, sometimes you think, I've got all the time in the world. And you think there's something in the back of your head that's telling you, okay, I'll not live forever. But you live every day like you're going to live forever. You live every day like you're going to live forever. You live like tomorrow is a certain thing. You live like tomorrow is going to come. But none of our futures are secure. And that's why we need to be ready. And some people aren't ready. They won't put their trust in Jesus because they want to enjoy this world right now, but they don't realize that it's all going to come to an end and Jesus is going to come. So how do we get ready? How do we get ready? When the groom came to the house, what were the wise women do? What did the wise women have? Okay, what did the wise women have? Yeah, Indy. They had the oil. They were ready to go. They had prepared and they were ready to go. And that to be prepared means you need to have your sins forgiven. You need to ask Jesus to take away your sins. You need to pray and say, Lord, I am sorry for all the wrong things I've done, all the sins I've done in my life. I am sorry. And I am putting my trust in who? Who am I putting my trust in? Who? God, yes, yeah, specifically. Jesus, yeah, the Lord Jesus. And what did he do for our sins? What did he do? He died. Because of all the bad things we do, we deserve punishment. But Jesus paid that punishment for us on the cross, where he bled and died, as you sung in that song. And he bled and died. He paid that punishment so we don't have to. We don't have to. And he has done everything. And all we have to do is pray and say, I'm sorry, and then repent. And I've told this before, repent is you're going one direction, and to repent is to what? What do I do now? You turn the other way, and you go in another direction. One, I'm going towards sin, and now I'm going towards the Lord Jesus. My eyes are fixed on the Lord Jesus, and I'm ready. When he says go, I am ready, ready to go. And we should be looking forward to him coming back. We should be waiting ready, as the bridesmaids said, by the window. They were waiting, ready to go. And when Jesus comes, they were ready. And we need to be ready too, okay? I want to leave you with one last quote, and we're going to go all the way back to this quote, okay? All good things must come to an end, okay? We've shown you that this world comes to an end, that nothing lasts forever in this world. But we think about what's after this world, an eternity in heaven, okay? And God is preparing a place for us in heaven, okay? And we think about that circle. Remember that song, that circle? God's love is like a circle. And what cannot be found? An end. And that's what eternity's going to be like. If we go to heaven, it'll not end. There'll be no end, okay? And we want to be there and we want to be ready. And we hope and we pray that you would put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will be ready to go to that great eternity where the joys and the goodness will never end. Can I just remind you, old and young, every breath in our lungs, every day that we have is a gift, okay? It's not something that we deserve or it's not something that we're assured of. It's a gift. It's a gift given by the Lord Jesus. And let's treat it like that. And let us see every day. Let's see how we can give glory to God. Let's see how we can prepare ourselves for the grand glory to come. Okay, you listened very well. Thank you.